It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. September of 2025 will mark the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, when General Douglas MacArthur accepted Japan's formal surrender aboard the U.S. battleship Missouri.
We are gathered here, representatives of the major warring powers, to conclude a solemn agreement whereby peace may be restored.
That audio is from the National Archives. About 320,000 Wisconsinites served in the war, among them a young man named Bob Gay, who came from a family with a long legacy in Madison. Bob was in the European Theater of Operations from January 1943 to September 1945. During his service, he exchanged letters with his parents and sister. Bob's daughter-in-law wrote a book collecting those letters. Danelle Gay runs the blog The Traveling Cheesehead. Her new book is called World War II Dispatches to Madison, Letters Home from an Army Air Corps Soldier. She spoke with Kate Archer Kent.
I was struck how Robert Gay asks for permission from his father to be able to fight in World War II. Can you introduce us to Bob and how you have approached these letters?
So the young man that you read about was the same man that I was blessed to know for almost 40 years. Still that humble, still used golly gee and swell. But his friends were all signing up, and he asked his dad, you know, permission to enlist. He was finishing his first year in college, and his dad said, basically, can you wait a bit? I guarantee you're going to get your invitation. But his dad fought in World War I, and he knew what he was going to be sending his boy off to. So telling the story of just a family and what they did, you know, on the home front, and then what a young man was facing when he was overseas. It was just kind of by chance that we actually found all of this. He didn't talk about a lot of it.
But he has this transformation, as you put it in the book, from a local Madison boy to a courageous soldier. What was that transformation like that you could see happening through these letters?
It was kind of fun to read through and to see how, depending on what station or base he was stationed at and the influx of other young men from around the country that changed around him, sometimes it changed, you know, some of the jokes that he shared. It changed some of the golly gee swell, you know, some of the different slang was picked up. So you could kind of watch some of this evolution go through as you're reading the letters. And it starts out as a young man who's, you know, homesick and misses a glass of milk more than anything, down to a man who is trying to figure out, you know, how to help his baby sister who's actually getting married while he's away.
You use the word swell, and, you know, Bob's letters almost are always upbeat. He uses the word swell a lot. What can you read into? What can you attribute that to?
He always was a very positive person. He was stationed in England at Mendlesham Royal Air Force Base, so he was, you know, right in a lot of the action over there. And he didn't want people to worry. And I think it was also difficult for him because he couldn't write a lot of what was actually going on. So he was limited what he could write back until it was all over.
Yeah, I was wondering how censorship came up through the letters. How much do you know about what he could and couldn't write about?
So they kind of found a little bit of way around it in the family. His letters going out were censored, but the letters coming in were not censored. So they would try to figure out roughly where he was stationed, and they'd say, are you, you know, Grandma Gay or Grandma Tulland far away? And in his reply letter, he would mention about, you know, visiting Grandma Gay, so that they knew that would be like about an hour away from London versus, you know, 3 hours away. So, I mean, they had little kind of like code in the letters that we were looking through, and we just started cracking up once we figured out what was going on.
That was so interesting because he could write about London when he went on his furlough days, but he couldn't write about other cities?
his station or his base was stationed right by Ipswich. And so he couldn't specifically say where he was at, but London is a big city where a lot of them had passes too. So that was like a common knowledge thing, apparently.
So he refers, you know, Bob's in Europe, refers to it in one letter from July of 1944 as the old ETO, the old European Theater of Operations. Can you talk about that time and what his role was on the base?
So he was a radio man, and he made sure a lot of the stuff on the planes was in working order. He actually jokes in one letter about how he was stationed, I think, I can't remember which actual place he was, but they were getting a lot of problems, they said, with headsets and stuff like that. And he joked in the letter saying the problem was between the headsets, not the headsets themselves. So, you know, user error. But so in the letters, you hear about how he was working in a plane and backed up and fell through the open door and stuff like that. That's when he broke his glasses. And then once in a while he went out, but not often because he was actually too tall to really be in the ships as a flyer.
He says, I'm afraid my eyes and height will keep me off the planes. What does he mean by that?
Well, he wore glasses, but his height to get around in the planes really well, you really needed to be 6 foot tall or less, and he was taller than that.
We are talking with Donnell Gay about her new book. It's called World War II Dispatches to Madison, Letters Home from an Army Air Corps Soldier, which collects the letters her father-in-law wrote during World War II. Donnell, can you read some of these letters to us? And I want to start here. He really wanted to be present for his sister Kath's marriage. And you can see the progression of that in Bob's letters about getting so excited for this wedding. Can you read some of those for us?
Sure. Catherine is actually still with us today. She lives in northern Wisconsin. And they both had the same birthday, and they were very close. So she was at home in college while he was away. And on June of 1944, he wrote a letter to the family, and his sister's name was Catherine, but he called her Kath. So it said, say, Kath, I'd sure like to see your new boyfriend. He sounds like a swell guy. I hope I get to see him before he withers away from your cooking. Tsk, tsk. He really teased her about that. Don't forget your big brother wants to come home to see you get married. Maybe I'll be home when school is out next year. I hope so. All for now. All my love, Bob. So there was a big debate between their folks and them. The mom really wanted to wait until Bob got home for the wedding to do the whole family and have the whole family there. But it got to the point where he didn't know when he was going to get home, if he got home, because by that point, some of his buddies had already been lost in the war. So a couple months later, August 3rd, he wrote to his sister, it sounds as if I'm going to have some new relations before long. Well, Kath, I think it'll be swell. I know you, Neil, Mom, and Dad have all talked it over, and you know whatever you decide will be plenty okay with me. You know I'd like very much to be at your wedding, but please don't worry about that because it may be quite some time before I get home. You are a peach, honey, and I'm all for anything that makes you happy. So he doesn't say I might not make it home, but it's really kind of implied with the letters. So September 4th, almost a month later, now, this was really kind of cute because the parents sent pictures, clippings, and even a piece of the wedding cake to him overseas. So right after that, he writes to his parents, I'm very glad Kath is married and so very happy. I'd sure be a lot happier if I could have gotten her a wedding present. Do you think I should wait until I get home? Or do you think if I turned over $100 worth of war bonds, it would be okay? Would she like that as well as a nice gift? I wish I knew what to do. The clippings you sent of the wedding are wonderful. Wasn't it swell that you found that nice article in the Milwaukee paper? I've got quite a well-known sister and brother-in-law, haven't I?
Oh, thank you so much for those. It really gives us some insight into what he's thinking about and how much he cares for his family. You know, and there's, I just also got a real kick out of him saying that he would be sending home an extra dinner ration because he wanted his parents and sister to try it, to open it. And he said the food is pure and sealed in. And it just also gave me a little bit of insight into how he really wanted them to walk a bit in his footsteps.
You wouldn't believe all of the things we found. Even when he was still in the United States and was going from base to base, every time the train stopped at a city, he grabbed a postcard, filled it out, and sent it home. So we have all these fun postcards. I mean, he really loved and missed his family and was trying to, you know, definitely stay connected and reassure them that he was okay.
Another fascinating point here is the propaganda radio that he heard coming from Japan and Germany. And he gets, you know, and we get an idea of how Axis countries were portraying Americans, were portraying these battles. Can you talk about what comes up in the letters?
He, you know, shared some of the stuff that he heard and then was like just joking and saying, boy, they must think we're dumber than a box of rocks, you know. So he was really making fun of it. And I know that back home, they were aware of a lot of this going on. I think it was just another way for him to reassure his family that, you know, he was in the right headset. And it was just something that they were cracking up about, you know, him and the guys.
And they would, he said that German radio, they would play American dance music, he thinks, to lure them in, to get them listening. And then they would switch to propaganda radio and then switch back to music.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they're friendly and they're on your side and, you know.
Hmm. Wow.
The guys enjoyed listening to the free music. They thought that that was pretty awesome.
Is there another letter that stands out to you that you would really love to read?
When he was in London, when he was in England, he had a 2-week furlough to Belfast. And he went by himself. He had a fabulous time, sent home several packages of Irish linen hankies, sent his mom some shamrock seeds and stuff. And in that trunk, we found a box of Irish linen hankies with a pack of shamrock seeds still in it. And I actually have some of those shamrock seeds. I planted them, and they're growing right now in my kitchen.
Oh, how wonderful. And what a way to remember Bob and look at those seeds and see them, you know, see them grow.
Isn't that just, it's just, you know, tying in with the history there.
Yeah. Did Bob ever talk about the war, or did he ever talk about these letters?
He didn't talk at all about the letters. He referred once in a while to his journals, but I didn't realize that that's what these journals were. And, you know, we did get him to go on the Badger Honor flight. He kept saying other guys deserved it more. So he didn't feel like he was really ever, you know, in the thick of it, even though his unit got an accommodation for helping provide cover for bombing Normandy for D-Day. So he just kind of was such a humble guy, you know, that greatest generation.
Remind us what the Badger Honor Flight is.
There are many different honor flights across the country, and they take our veterans to Washington, D.C. for the day. They get to see all the monuments, especially during the ones from when they served. And then they come back, and what they don't realize when they're unloading is that the airport is packed full of people cheering them on. They get a huge packet full of, like, letters and, you know, congratulations and thank you notes, and it's really quite a touching thing to see and be a part of. A lot of these people didn't get that little ticker tape parade when they came home, or like the Vietnam guys who, boy, nobody seemed to be happy to see those poor guys and gals when they came back. So the honor flight is a neat way to kind of pay that forward and give them a real, like, hero's welcome home. My husband went with him. It was his, like, guardian on the flight, and it was incredible because they don't see when they first come off the plane the huge crowd, and it was almost, he was kind of like, wait, are they all here for me? He's like waving. And then he realized that there were people there from, you know, all of the families and other well-wishers. And it's just, it was amazing. I don't think there is ever a dry eye in the house when those lights come in.
Danelle, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing these letters.
Thank you for having me.
Danelle Gay is the author of World War II Dispatches to Madison, Letters Home from an Army Air Corps Soldier. She talked to Kate Archer Kent about a collection of newly published letters her father-in-law wrote home during World War II.